The 60th chapter of Isaiah. We're reading verses 1 through 5 today. Isaiah 60. Apologize for my voice. Been battling with a little cold, tormenting you, and I'm sorry. But bear with me this morning. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. You can read on in that chapter at your own time. This is very similar to the verses that we read last week in the service. If you remember that Isaiah was a prophet who was speaking directly to those who were returning from captivity, those that were exiled, returning back to Jerusalem. They come back to Jerusalem and they see nothing but devastation and destruction there. And they recognize how much that they need God to come and to intervene in their circumstance that they're in. But as Isaiah chapter 60 is a prophetic promise. It's a promise related to Jesus, the Messiah, that's going to come. And when he comes, this gospel message is going to be spread to all the Gentile world and everyone. All of us here this morning are a part of this the fulfillment of this wonderful promise that the gospel was going to be like a light that was going to shine in the darkest of times. Praise God. When you're in your sin, before you know Jesus Christ, you're in darkness. You're without hope. You don't know what to do. You have no sense of direction, and you're just lost hopelessly and in darkness. But when Jesus comes and the gospel comes, then it brings light and it brings hope into your circumstance. And light brings life. Amen. Light brings life. And it's a wonderful thing to know that the gospel message has the power to bring change to the lives of people. Amen. You see, I think that all of us are very much aware of the darkness of these times that we're living in right now. It seems to me that it's almost on a weekly basis that we stoop to a new low in our world, that things are getting increasingly worse and worse and worse. And there's this move away from God. And in many parts of our world, I know that many of you have been keeping up with the devastation in Iraq in recent weeks and the persecution of Christians in Iraq. It's unspeakable. It's just more than you can even comprehend. If somehow you could put yourself in the place of these Christians in Iraq and feel a little bit of what they're experiencing over these last several weeks, it's just it's unspeakable. It's horrible. Many of the things. Iraq is a country, of course, that's been torn by war for many, many, many years. But out of all of the midst of even all of that, and even though it's by and large a country that's controlled by Muslims, there's still 1.5 million Christians in Iraq. There are still about 5% of the population of that nation who profess to be a Christian. You're not going to claim to be a Christian by some false profession in a place where it could cost you your life. So those numbers are probably very accurate. If there are 1.5 million people in Iraq who are saying we're believers, no doubt those numbers are pretty close to what the truth of the numbers are. But the darkness that's there is unbelievable. And the wickedness and the evil that many of these people are having to literally run into the mountains to save the lives of their families. And children are being executed. Mothers and young daughters are being taken in as prisoners and slaves. And fathers are being hung publicly by the dozens and dozens. And so Christians are running to the hills. And a lot of what's happened just in the last 3 or 4 days with our government doing some airstrikes and dropping in some food into those areas, which is a needed thing. And I'm grateful that we are doing that. But it's so small compared to the greatness of the need. It seems like our world is just being swallowed up by darkness. It really does. Everywhere that we look. But here's the encouraging word today, that there is hope, and God moves. God is never caught off guard by what's going on. As a matter of fact, we've heard that phrase before, that it's always the darkest before the dawn. Now, I've heard that phrase a lot of times, and I've been thinking a lot about that. Is that really true? Is it true that it's the darkest before the dawn? Well, we know that darkness is the absence of light. And our planet, it revolves. It's constantly turning. The sun is in a fixed position. But the earth is constantly revolving. And that's why night comes, because it revolves, and then the back part that isn't facing the earth, that we have night, and then we have day, as so ordered by the Lord. And so when the sun goes down in the evening, our planet is turning away from the sun. And it's getting gradually, in the evening, it gets gradually a little darker, and a little darker, and a little darker, until finally it comes to that point of its greatest darkness, just before it makes the turn, and the light of dawn, that's what dawn is. Dawn is the first light of the morning. And so it makes its turn and the light begins to shine. So I can't make a scientific judgment on this, but just on the basis of what I've described for you, it gets darker and darker and darker until finally it turns and light begins to come back on the scene once again. Well, I do believe, spiritually speaking, that you'll see that many places in the Word of God that it gets very dark and darker and darker, and then God breaks in on the scene. And there is hope. There is a light of hope for these dark days that we're living in right now. Do you know that God is never surprised by the times that we're living in? God is not caught off guard by the tragedies and the horrible things that are going on around our world, or the terrible conditions morally and ethically even in our nation. God is not caught off guard by any of the things, or he's not surprised by the times that we're living in. God is at work, and he's waiting on you and me, that in the midst of all of the darkness, to be willing to cry out to God. It's so true that many of us, we find ourselves self-sufficient until we get backed into a situation that we can't do anything about it in our own power. Then we begin to say, oh God, you're my help. You're my hope. Things have gotten dark and worse, and I can't do anything about the circumstance. This is a principle you'll see a number of places in the Word of God, that God does reveal his light at the darkest of times. God does come on the scene at the darkest of circumstances. And that's what the scripture here is talking about in Isaiah chapter 60. This is the promise of the Messiah, and the promise of light. Arise, shine, it says. For the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It's talking about the sun coming up upon a very, very dark time. And we are in a dark time. But the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the light that can bring hope to a world that is in need. As I left the service, or I left the church last night, maybe 10:30 last night, as I stepped out the door, I was startled a little bit by a young man that was just sitting out here in front of the church. And I wasn't really afraid of him, but I just said, begin a conversation with him and begin to talk to him about the Lord. This young man began to pour out to me all of the troubles of his life. I have to tell you, people's lives in sin are a big mess. This young man is only 22 years old. He lives in our area right here around the church. This young man is in desperation. He has no job. He has no hope. He has, from the time that he was, he's 22 years old, and he has three children, and three biological children at 22 years old. No job, no income, and in a desperate situation. He doesn't know what the future holds. He doesn't know what to do. And as I have been going through these scriptures, I just thought, here it is, sitting right on our doorstep, a young man that his life is just swallowed up in darkness, and he can't see a way out. And I talked to him about the Lord. I talked to him about his need for God. And he's very open, and I was hoping that he would be here in the service today. I pray for that young man that he will turn to the Lord, because without the Lord, his life is just so messed up. There doesn't seem to be a solution. He's in darkness, and he needs the light. But right when you get into that place, when things get so dark, I do believe that many times that the light begins to shine. It dawns at the darkest hour, at the most difficult hour. That was the case for those who were coming out of captivity, and their situation was so hopeless. What they needed was God to come, and they had cried out to the Lord. And then the prophet said, he's going to come. The sun's going to come up on your dark day. The sun is going to rise up on your dark situation if you'll put your hope in the Lord. Amen. You know, if we will understand that God moves in impossible situations. John chapter 2, there's the story of Jesus' first miracle. The first miracle was at a wedding. John chapter 2, this was the marriage in Cana of Galilee. I know that we're all familiar with this story, but the Bible says that these weddings, they would last for several days, 5, 6, 7 days, maybe a week. And so at some point in the wedding, it looked like that they were going to run out of wine. And so as a result, Mary comes to Jesus, and Jesus responds to his mother, "What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Now, I believe that what he was talking about was his hour to begin his ministry, his hour of the miraculous, because this was the first miracle. And so this was a dark situation that they're in. They're up against this great obstacle of running out, and all of the wedding festivity being destroyed by this lack of need here in this situation. And so as the mother just simply says, listen to Jesus, and whatever he says to do, you do it. She told the servants, do it. The Bible says that Jesus spoke the word. You're all familiar with the story. And that those large water pots that were, he said, fill them up with water and then begin to serve and provide. The Bible says this was the first miracle. This was the beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. Now, I went through that little story reminding you of it just to encourage you today to know that whatever your need is, and whatever the circumstance that you're up against right now, that God is able to show up. That's his hour of power. That's when he will begin to work. whenever you begin to expect him and believe that he is going to work in your situation. You see, his hour of the miraculous is when you run out. It's when you come up empty, when you don't have what you have need of, when your resources are gone and you don't know what else to do. That's when the hour of God's miraculous power begins to be demonstrated in our lives. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, God wants to move for us here. He wants to move for us here. And it may be that you find yourself in a lot of difficult times and you may be facing a lot of problems right now. But I want to encourage you today to know that God will come in your darkest hour and he'll prove himself to you. I remember reading the story of Jim Cimbala in New York City, and how that the Brooklyn Tabernacle was just a church of maybe a couple of dozen people, and how he said that just darkness and gloom just was settling in over their little congregation that they had there, and they couldn't seem. He said didn't seem to be an answer. There was no money. There was no way to pay the bills. There was no way to carry on the ministry. And it had gotten so bad that he was working a job, his wife was working a job, but still there wasn't the support to provide for the church. And he said that they were in a service with just their couple of dozen people that were there. And he said the gloom was so heavy upon that service. There was just no hope and no faith, and he'd literally come to the end of himself, that he stopped after trying to preach for about 5 or 10 minutes. He just stopped and laid his head over on the pulpit and began to weep and cry. And his wife just went to the piano and tried to sing some songs, didn't know what to do. But it was the lowest time of their ministry. And in that low time, God began to work, and the Lord put it on his heart to turn that Tuesday night service into a real prayer meeting, a time when they just gathered together and they just prayed, and that service was going to be the life of the church and would gauge everything else that they do. And they started with their little handful of people praying on Tuesday night, and the group began to grow, and more people began to pray, and God began to move by his Spirit. And right at the time that he was at his point of despair, that they had had $250-some that had come in the offering that day to pay the bills. They needed every dime of it and more. But somehow the money had gotten stolen. Someone stole the money. And so that's the part I left out of the story, that he's so overwhelmed that he lays his head over on the pulpit and just begins to cry. And as they begin to sing a chorus, and people begin to call on the Lord, that there's a young man that comes in the door of the sanctuary and comes to the front and said, I'm sorry, I should have never done that. I won't ever do that again. And he didn't know who he was or what he had done. But that young man was the one that had stolen the offering that day. And he said that was like the turning point of God beginning to work supernaturally in their church and in their needs. I don't know why, but I just really felt like that there were people who were among us here, and even in this service today, that some of you, you're really at a dark time right now. You're really at a point of despair, and you're almost being swallowed up by all this, and you can't seem to see your way out of your present situation. I want to encourage you today. I want to remind you today that in the midst of your dark situation, that God will begin to shine. The sun will come up on your circumstance and on your need, and the Lord will reveal himself in mighty power if you'll call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, we don't even know. We have problems, but our problems are so small compared to the problems that many, many people face all over the world. I'm so thankful today that we could call upon the Lord. And no matter what your need is, what your situation is, God is able to help you. And I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to believe that God is at work today, right now. And it might seem to be the darkest time in this circumstance that you're in right now. But the sun is getting ready to come up. And when the light begins to shine, then there'll be life. Everything will change. Amen. Whenever Jesus steps on the scene. When I was a very young man, I used to go deer hunting quite a lot. And that would be, you would go out at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, you'd already have your tree your tree stand figured out before that day. But you'd go out there, climb up into that tree about 3 or 4 in the morning, and then you'd just sit there in the quiet of the darkness. You'd have to have a flashlight to get to your tree. Then you'd climb up there, get yourself positioned, and you'd wait. And it would be an eerie darkness out there in the middle of the woods, and an eerie quiet out there in the woods. But you know when things begin to happen out there in the woods, when just a little bit of light would begin to shine. At dawn, when the light would begin to come up, then things would start moving. All down below me, I would see the rabbits and the squirrels. I remember one time that two little baby fawns, they came and just sat right at below my tree. And they sat there for a long time, and not knowing that I was just up above them. The woods just, it just comes alive when the sun comes up. Amen. Light will activate life. When Jesus steps into your situation, things will change. God will move, but he will come whenever you'll get to that point of desperation. And you will be willing to cry out to the Lord in the midst of your trouble and your despair. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, I ask, Lord, that today that you would speak, Lord, and minister to people in this service today that are up against great and difficult times. You know about them, and you know all about what they're experiencing today. I don't, but I do, Lord, that you want to provide help to them. And I just ask today, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that the light of the gospel and the hope of the light of the gospel, Lord, would rise upon their heart, even though that they're faced with dark and troubling times right now. Lord, that they would not give up, that they would not lose heart, but instead, that they would put their trust in you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. I just want to take this time right now as we're going to spend some time praying this morning around this altar. But those of you in this service today, and the Lord by His Holy Spirit is speaking to you and dealing with you, because there's this heavy gloom and darkness and hopelessness that has settled in upon you. You can't seem to see your way out of it. You don't know what to do. I want to encourage you today. I want you to know that you can cry out to God. You can call upon the Lord. And the light of hope is getting ready to shine in your situation. If you'll just put your trust in the Lord Jesus today. Hallelujah. Glory to God.